want to talk about geopolitical activities, and the man who does that is in the Washington, D.C. area, Colonel Bob McGinnis. He is an advisor to the Defense Department. You may see him on CNN, Fox News. He's found everywhere giving his analysis of what is happening. And we're so honored to be able to have Bob along with us on the way as we discuss some of the geopolitical activities of the world. Bob, we need to talk about the Iraqi elections. They take place tomorrow. These are going, as I understand it, to be very important elections. As we lead up to it, there's been some terrorist attacks on some of these voting sites out there, some preliminary voting going on by some people who need to be doing that before the actual national election does take place tomorrow. What does this indicate to us? Is this meaning that there's going to be some trouble with the elections tomorrow? What are your thoughts as we look at this subject?
Jimmy, inevitably, the Islamic State of Iraq, the militant group there, and al-Qaeda will do what it can to undermine that election. But keep in mind, this is the most competitive democratic contest for power ever held in the, certainly the Islamic part of the Middle East. And so I think it's significant. There have been previous elections, but this, you have the current Prime Minister, Nouri Maliki, and his party, the State of Law Party, contesting the election against a former Prime Minister, Alawi, who, of course, was put in place by the U.S. back in 2005. But this could end up being, I think, a very critical election. It will tell us geopolitically whether or not Iran will have another partner and be able to expand its influence through the region, or whether or not the Arabs, especially the Sunni world, with Turkey and Saudi Arabia playing kind of the bookends here, will they have influence in that part of the world? A lot is riding on this election tomorrow.
What about this former prime minister? It looks to me, as I read the news headlines from where I am located now in this part of the world, here in Hungary, that Alawi, if that's the way you pronounce his name, may be moving quickly to a position of possibly regaining his position as prime minister. And if that would be the case, is that going to be a bad situation?
There is a, I suppose, a philosophical difference, a significant one, between what Maliki is, who is Iran-focused, and really is has more of a, I suppose, a grassroots focus, trying to, you know, acquiesce to what Tehran has in mind. And Alawi, who is a nationalist guy, who brings the Kurds, Arabs, Turkmen, some Shiites, and, of course, most of the Sunnis together. And he's a strong man. Some people want to compare him to Saddam Hussein, and some people want to conclude that it takes a strong man in Iraq to control that country. I think that there is some truth to that, but we don't want, obviously, to see someone return to the old days of Saddam Hussein's multi-decade rule and all the totalitarian ways in which he did it, nor do we want to see Iran take over that country as a puppet. So there's a lot at risk here. Likely what will come out will be a coalition government that will have maybe a blend of both.
Well, when you think about what you just mentioned a few moments ago, the Sunnis having a connection with Saudi Arabia, that brings religion into the election. The Shiites, which are probably 60% of the whole body politic of Iraq, they've had an influence in the government. They do today with Prime Minister Maliki. They want to continue that influence, of course. You have Muqtada Sadr, who is a radical Islamic cleric, a part of the Shiite segment of Islam. You have the Kurds in the north. Religion's going to play a role, as it has in the past, in this election, will it not?
Well, there's no doubt that religion plays a role, and certainly, you know, the Grand Ayatollah Sistani, the most influential Shiite in Iraq, he has tried to distance himself from endorsement of any candidates. In fact, over the last week, he says, I'm not going to meet with any more candidates because of the implication that has. However, Mr. Hakim, who runs the Islamic Supreme Council of Iraq, a very influential and Tehran-associated organization, is really doing everything he can to promote the Iraqi National Alliance, which is not necessarily aligned, even though it's primarily Shia, with the State of Law, Maliki Alliance. So you've got all sorts of people vying here. The Sunnis, though, I think have found a candidate, and I do believe it's Alawi, and I think that he'll serve their best interests. What the Americans want, I believe, is a candidate that's going to be able to keep it together, not going back to civil war, and keep Iran from being a primary influencer in that country, which, of course, would hurt our interests.
And, of course, that is especially in light of the fact that the scheduled withdrawal of American troops coming out of Iraq sometime in 2011, even though they do have a plan B in place, possibly, this is important, and a stability in this next elected government is key.
Absolutely. And, of course, Ray Odierno, the general in charge of American forces in Iraq, says we are prepared to extend our stay. However, he would like to begin in May, bringing 3 brigade combat teams out every month until August, leaving about 50,000 Americans. And the question is, after that, exactly what role will we have? I think Alawi, to his credit, wants to extend the stay of some Americans past the deadline of December of 2011, which would provide him some sort of guarantee against, I suppose, the interference of Tehran next door.
Well, we're going to have Bob McGinnis back next week to analyze how the elections do come out. It will be key to the future of this nation of Iraq, a war-torn nation that wants to rebuild. Bob, if you will, let me give you some rapid-fire questions and answers. We're trying to get as many as we can in before the time is gone. Iran has a new launch site, and it looks like North Korea is helping him to put together this launch site for a missile that could carry a weapon, a nuclear warhead weapon of some type.
Of course, Jimmy. North Korea has been there for decades, helping the Iranians. They are behind a lot of the technology, as well as the Pakistanis. But the fact that they built a series of sophisticated launch platforms should not surprise anyone. Keep in mind, they seek, I believe, intercontinental ballistic missiles. They have a nuclear weapons program. I think that they want not only to be the regional hegemon, but they want to threaten the world as best as they can.
And then, Bob, at the same time, President Obama vowing to reduce nuclear weapons that the United States has. Is this a smart move in a rough neighborhood like our world is today?
Well, I think it's, of course, following his campaign promises. He's going to announce some aspect of a nuclear posture review, which he put the Pentagon through, trying to figure out what it needs to look at. On the sideline, though, Jimmy, keep in mind the Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty has been negotiated with the Russians. The Russians want more than I think we ought to give up. Specifically, they want to curtail our anti-ballistic missile programs. They want to cut back on our launching capabilities. I believe that the president's move here is very dangerous for our long-term future security.
What are you going to be writing about this week, Bob?
I'll be writing about the election in Iraq.
Election in Iraq. Well, that is going to be key for our understanding of how geopolitical activities around the world are setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. When I take a look at the book, we're going to be looking at the Iraqi elections in light of the scenario laid out in Bible prophecy. So keep the dial set. It's the last 8 minutes of this program. But we're excited about the first 12 minutes of the program, being able to talk to Colonel Bob McGinnis and get a look at geopolitical activities. Bob, thank you so much. We'll talk again along the way, especially next week.
Thank you, Jimmy.